The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, April 11th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. We have good company in studio today. We actually have Anglican Church women in studio, so I'm actually excited about that. We have three presidents. We have the president for the Anglican Church Women Council. We have the president for the Holy Trinity, Anglican Church Women for the Holy Trinity. And of course, the president of St. George's Church here in studio. But they're celebrating their 60th conference, their Diamond Jubilee. That's what how do you say it? Diamond Jubilee. Hold the mic a little closer for me so I can make sure I hear you. Go ahead.
Our Diamond Jubilee, we're celebrating 60 years.
Good.
The Anglican Church Women.
And I'm excited for you, but exactly what does that mean?
Okay, well, this is a wonderful time when we will celebrate and honor some of our founding members who would have been in the Anglican Church from the start of inception, and that's back in 1964 when we had our branches formed. And so we do have a lineup to just really honor the 60 years of steadfast devotion to the Anglican Church women. And so we're kicking off our celebrations with a walkathon on this Saturday coming. It's all white. And President Wims will speak more about that, but just to give you a quick rundown of what we're having. And then on Monday, we have an exhibition at the mall at Marathon where we are going to try to depict all of our parishes under the ACW, and President Sals will speak a bit to that. And then on Saturday, the 20th of April, we will be honoring 10 living founding members of the Anglican Church Women.
I'm almost certain you all had this celebration last year. It seems as you all have a celebration every year, though.
Yes, well, last year we celebrated our 50th conference, but this year is actually the 60th anniversary of the Anglican Church Women.
So it was 60 years since Anglican Church Women has been an organization in the Bahamas.
Informed.
Oh, okay.
Under our then patron, Bishop Bernard Markham.
How many churches that has Anglican Church Women organizations? All of the parishes?
We have, yes. We have we have approximately 55 churches, 55 branches throughout the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands.
And I remember last time you had a celebration, Anglican women came from all over the place, like from Turks and Caicos or Family Island. That'll be happening again?
Again, we are excited. And so by the 18th of April, they'll all be coming in. And we look forward to converging in conference. And so on Sunday, the 21st, we will all align by Christ Church Cathedral, where we will have our procession of witness. We go from the cathedral onto Bay Street, Parliament Street, Shirley Street, onto Duke, back over Cumberland, and back to George Street to the cathedral, where our service will be at 4 p.m. Celebrant will be Bishop the Right Reverend Laish Boyd. He is our patron and celebrant. And so the ladies, we will assemble together to worship and give God thanks for 60 years.
Now, will the procession of witness take place before the walkathon or after the walkathon?
No, the walkathon is this Saturday.
This Saturday,
right.
And then that?
Next weekend, the Saturday, yes. We will then have our procession prior to the service at 3 p.m.
Listen, I'm just saying, they're going to do the walkathon. That's like the train. That's a preparation for the procession.
Yes, that's the kickoff.
commitment and dedication to service to community.
Yes.
They're going to do this walk in heels.
Mm-hmm. In heels, say heels.
Yeah, they're going to beat the road bad with commitment, beat the road bad with their witness, right?
Yes.
In heels.
Look forward to that walk.
The second walk will be in your pumps or whatever.
Right.
Whatever goes with your outfit of choice, with the ACW uniform. No. But the walk on Saturday, it's the dress code is comfortable attire. It's a walk, but it's a leisurely stroll also, depending upon you know what your preference is. But you could take it as a training towards the procession on Sunday.
But before we go on the detail of the walk into it, when does the entire conference start? The first day, and when is the last day?
Okay.
And then I want to know the list of the various events, okay. And then I'm going to start talking about the walkathon.
Okay. All right. So after the church service on Sunday.
Everything kicks off.
Yes.
Then this Sunday?
No, that's next Sunday, the
21st. Next Sunday, the 21st. Okay, yes. Get in now. Okay. Go ahead.
So on Monday, the 22nd of April, we will all meet at the King Church in Ridgeland Park. So we start with morning prayer at 7 a.m. After that, we take a break. We have breakfast, and then the sessions will officially start
Pause
at
now.
9.
I don't know. If you're not a member of the Anglican community, you may not know the significance of hosting this event at Ridgeland Park. I'm from St. Anne's community, but I could argue that Ridgeland Park may have the best chefs in the entire Anglican community in the Bahamas. Good morning, ladies.
Yes.
One of the most popular South out venues.
Yes, okay. And as you said, South too. If you come to the walkathon on Saturday, there is a South out that's going. So once you've taken your stroll, then you can have some good South. But yes, we do have a number of chefs within the Anglican Church women.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really look forward to them catering, coming together and sharing in ministry. So yes, we will be at the church on Monday morning, and then we go into our electoral process. And for the afternoon, we have a lineup of speakers. We have speakers from within the Anglican Church women and those who are out. So just to give you a touch, I guess, on Monday, what we have one of our own, Shavana Roberts from St. Nicholls in Grand Bahama. She will be one of the speakers on Monday. And then Monday evening, for the evening session, we have Mrs. Ali Nash Ferguson, who will be our speaker for Monday evening. Tuesday, again, we return to session, starting with morning prayer. And just to give you a lineup of our speakers there, we have one of our ACW presidents, again, out of Grand Bahama, President Mader. She's one of the morning speakers. We also use this opportunity to share with women. So we have Dr. Hummel Bloomfield, who would be there to speak to us extensively on women's health. So, you know, when we gather like that, we know as women, you know, it's the whole process, the whole body, body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. So we will take some time out to look at our bodies. What are we doing? Where awareness needs to be increased. Okay. And then in the afternoon on Tuesday, we do have Ms. Roseanne Johnson, our chaplain from Church of the Most Holy Trinity. She would be coming down, and our diocesan theme this year really is on the beauty of the earth. And so she will be coming down, and we'll be speaking about, you know, our transitioning from petrol to electrical vehicles. So I think we're going to have some cars there. So who want to test drive? That's a part of it. We also have Dr. Turner, an archaeologist, who will also be speaking to our theme for the beauty of the earth. Mm-hmm. And then as we go back to Tuesday evening, focusing on our celebration of this steadfast devotion to the Anglican Church Women Organization, we do have Her Excellency Sharon Lady Wilson, who's one of our speakers as well, and we look forward to hearing from her. And then we also have Secretary of St. Luke's Parish in Governor's Harbor, Eleuthera Miss Loretta Butler, who will also be one of the speakers. So we do have a lineup of topics, sharing women of wisdom, and we look forward to coming from this quite enriched to be able to continue our service, not only within the church, but in the wider community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on Wednesday morning, we will be sharing with the residents within the Ridgeland Park area. So after Mass, we will have a distribution of food items. So every year, as a part of our conference, we make room and time for outreach to others outside of the wall. So we will worship with them, short morning prayer, and then we want to reach out to their needs and touch them. And then for the remainder of the day, we must have some fun with the conference too. So we will go and do some touring. Some of us, we are very busy on the streets, so we don't know what's happening. So we're going to go and do a little tour of the harbor, the new harbor development. We're going to do that. And then we will go for lunch at Poop Deck West, and then we will relax and enjoy a nice movie.
So far, I got Monday through Wednesday.
Yes.
So we have an event. The conference part is Monday through Wednesday. So now let me talk about this walkathon, right?
Yes.
And that should be, let me see if I remember that. President Cheryl Wims.
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. All walkathon is you. Go ahead.
Okay. So what?
Get the mic a little closer to you so they can hear.
Is this fine?
That's perfect
okay,
now.
Okay, very well. So as Madam President has indicated, we have an annual conference. But what we also do is we have pre-conference activities to get everybody geared up. One of the things that we've been doing for the past couple of years is being a walkathon. And what we do is we seek to raise monies so that we can contribute to various organizations or to use it within the ACW itself. So this year I was given the awesome task of organizing the walk. And so we thought, you know, because the ACW is constantly looking for ways to be a merger of the older women and the younger women. So Madam President and her executive team are always open to listen to the younger persons and to accept new ideas. So this year we wanted to do something a little different, and that is where we came up with the concept of a white walk. So as opposed to your regular walk that everybody does, we're doing a walk which is called the white walk. It is for a purpose. It's to raise awareness for issues affecting young women in our country. We're all going to wear, well, as many of us who can, are white, and we're going to have our placards, and we're going to raise the issues that we think are appropriate.
I want to talk about placards.
Okay. Yes.
Who is going to be writing these placards? Each parish writing their own placards?
We have our standardized placards, okay. Which represents, you know, the interests that we see as appropriate interests for the organization. But the main point of it is solidarity, you know, the women coming together and to really, because, you know, the issues vary within the community, but it's just to have a platform for the fact that we're, as an organization that's perceived as primarily, you know, for older women, that we want to extend, if you will, this olive branch to the younger women and have them understand that whatever issues are that are affecting you, because those are personal, and sometimes persons may not wish to share them. So mm-hmm. the placards are going to be very general, but it's more the concept that we're trying to build upon, and like I said, to extend that olive branch.
An intergenerational movement, right? Because there are some issues that older women could say, listen, we walked this road. Yeah. Some issues, we've walked the exact road at a different time, and then there are some issues that we haven't walked, but we're willing to walk with you.
Precisely, right? And it's not necessarily for us to have that discussion at the walk,
right?
But just to understand that we're sensitized to that, and that, you know, the door is open for these discussions mm-hmm. in the future.
When is this walkathon, and is it only Anglican people could be walking on this walkathon? Only women be walking on this walkathon?
Men even, you know, even men can walk. It's not a walk for women.
I need to know if there's a price for this walkathon.
There is a registration fee, because at the end of the day, we're still trying to fundraise. We normally, Madam President, are we able to say what is going to be?
Sure. Mm-hmm. We have several initiatives that we have been working with over the past 3 years. We do have our ongoing scholarship. We sponsored a young
lady. Oh, that's where you can do the walkathon money?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We sponsored a young lady who is presently enrolled at the Bishop Michael Eldon School. Last year, we thought we had a committee where we looked to Northern Bahamas. We know they were severely impacted as a result of Hurricane Dorian, mm-hmm. COVID, etc. And we thought we will extend our scholarship, renew the scholarship. And so we've extended it to a young lady in Grand Bahama. It's a 3-year scholarship. It's a full scholarship, tuition, books, uniform, etc. So we want to make sure that keeps going. We also have partnered with the Wilma Pratt School. And so
awesome.
We have at least once a year where we meet with those young ladies. We share with them. So There again, we also need funds to go towards that. And just outreach on the whole within the ACW, as I mentioned, we will be doing some reach out for our community as well.
Go ahead.
No, man, you go on. Because only thing I can say is y'all get ready. Me and Esther Hannah Culmer, we come into this walk-a-thon.
Oh, she's going to be the first one there. Last year, she was there.
Yes, I know.
I'm bright and early.
She's from our branch, actually.
Yeah, she made me do the HHT walk so I would be ready. So you could be my partner. Train, Miss Train.
She is one, she's a very good example of the merger of the older God and the new. You know, mm-hmm. She's one of those who's open to working with young persons. I myself, in comparison to Miss Esther, would be considered young. But like I said, the open door is there for ideas to be exchanged and to really collaborate on, mm-hmm. on ventures like this particular one.
I still need to know the date and know the price.
Okay, so it's on the 13th of April, which is
Saturday coming.
This coming Saturday.
So the walk-a-thon this Saturday.
It is this coming Saturday.
So you almost had me miss the walk-a-thon.
I wasn't going to leave you before I let you know exactly the date.
Cost?
So there's a registration fee of $20, which comes with a cap that says ACW on it.
I don't need a cap. I just need like 7 bottles of water.
We will have water.
Oh, you have water there too?
Awesome. When does it start?
It starts at 5:30 a.m. with a warm-up and praise and worship. Yes.
Awesome.
And a light warm-up because, like I said, it's a leisurely stroll. We're not going to do, any record-breaking marathon walking.
You'll get there early. Stretch your ankle and be amazed at how the praise and worship will invigorate you for the walk.
Where does it start?
It starts at Goodman's Bay.
Oh, Goodman's Bay.
Yes,
okay. And I walk in where?
And we go to Sandyport and back. But here's the thing. We in order to accommodate various different persons, because everybody has a different level of fitness, we have 4 stops along the way. So if you want to go a quarter of the way and turn around, good for you. Half the way, a third of the way, etc.
Holy Trinity bringing their bus?
Holy Trinity is bringing whatever needs to be
brought. Just making sure, just in case someone needs to stop and have to come back.
We've done this in the past, and everybody's pretty familiar with it. But this year, we wanted to extend it even to broaden our horizons. So we've extended the invitation to various organizations. And, like I said, it's open to all. We're encouraging.
So Anglican Church men can come and participate in this as well.
Yes, they can.
The community at large.
The whole community. Okay.
Yes, that is correct. If you haven't registered, you can, we'll have some pre-registration there on the morning. Otherwise, you could stop to any Anglican church and
Now, are the Sand Sisters from Holy Trinity, are they in charge of refreshments?
You sound like the Anglican food.
Listen. Okay, good stuff.
Miss Joyce and Zass, I'm from St. George. Zass. I can learn that word today. Zass. Zass?
Sass.
Sass with S.
Like you can say Sass.
Madam President, Miss Choison. Yes. Sass. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Well.
Okay. How are you doing that? Go ahead.
This would be interesting, especially for people that walk every morning. Your small walk groups just show up at 5 for the warm-up, and we'll start at 6, Goodman's Bay. But just know that there's a young lady at St. George's. Her name is Whitney Cash. She's going to be the first out in the first back.
Okay, just making sure. So, in terms of your presidency and what you were in charge of, what can we expect?
Well, I'm really here to talk about the exhibition.
That's what you're talking about then.
Which starts. It's going to be at the Mall at Marathon on Monday.
Okay, so let's back up. Mm-hmm. We start on Sunday. Monday we have the conference start, right?
No. The pre-conference activity starts with the walk on Saturday, which is April 13th.
Okay.
The very next event is the 15th through the 18th at the Mall at Marathon.
Ah.
And that's the exhibition.
Okay.
This is where you would see all the churches, Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Islands represented in picture form. It would be a pictorial history of all the different parishes.
Mm.
And interestingly enough, if you observe these and you have a chance to get to the mall, you will see that each church has its own culture, obviously its own history.
Mm-hmm.
For example, St. George's in the Valley. The Valley Boys started at St. George's in the schoolroom, that sort of thing. And you would see a line of history of all the rectors and assistant.
So you have pictures of directors too?
Yes, we okay. have. It's a pictorial history.
Okay.
Very interesting. And then that's followed by conference activities at Christ the King.
I'm excited about that.
The pictorial exhibition is so important because often we say, well, where are the women? Where are the women?
Yes.
Sometimes we will let entrench in our minds this idea that the women are being oppressed because we can't see them. Mm-hmm. Just because we can't see them. But a pictorial allows us to see
evidence.
The role, right? Because not every role is intended to be visible.
And you know what they say about pictures. Speak a thousand words. It's always interesting.
Yes.
The pictures.
And so many different stories mm-hmm. encased in one picture. That's for so right. many people. Right? And so in and of itself, it's an exercise in community, how we
Absolutely.
Experience the collective individually and collectively, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I want to say in particular, parents, bring the children out.
Yes.
Bring the young people out.
Because you will see it from St. Christopher's to Epiphany. It'll be there.
Will there wow. be someone to, I think in art world it's called, yeah, man, or curate the,
yes.
the, yes?
Right.
What, a person from each church or just someone who
Not
just managed the whole thing?
Volunteers.
Volunteers, nice.
Wow. Uh-huh. Now, let's mm-hmm. get a sense of the scope of the body, right? 55 branches across the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos. From the north, because you called two churches just now, and I realized I don't actually know where they're located. And then you talked about a St. Nicholas in Grand Bahama. And we were reading about Nicholas Town this morning in the fire. And I wondered, is there a relationship between Nicholas Town or why how Nicholas Town got its name and St. Nicholas Church?
Or, I think the church was named for the town. I don't know for
wow,
sure.
Wow, but right, but all of these things are mm-hmm. extremely interesting, and you'd be surprised how interested your children will be mm-hmm. in knowing this
and
history.
You raise an interesting point because you will find that some of the parishes do have what is called a companion relationship. For example, St. George's Companion Parish in St. Paul is St. Paul's in Clarencetown, Long Island. And we have a very active relationship that started years ago.
Wow. So you imagine now, because I'm Anglican. I was informed at my confirmation, you're born Anglican, you're dead Anglican. Don't forget. But I spent a lot of time in the Methodist summer camping youth program.
Right.
And so, like, what great opportunities, like the way that we organize. Imagine that those two companion churches have a summer camp where they come together mm-hmm. and summer camp, and then they go to the broader
right.
Anglican summer camp, right? Our Baptist brethren, they just established or reestablished the Baptist Sporting Federation, a mechanism to continue to build on the integrity of the structure of the community. This is just
yes.
fantastic, man.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So be at the exhibition.
Now, one more question. Where can I get a shirt? You can't just come in here in your Androsia Anglican women's shirt and not say how you get one of these. Do I have to be a formal member of a church council to get one of these?
So all of our members, once you're an Anglican church woman, we do have shirts. So we do have them on sale throughout the year, but particularly at conference. So we do have a number of shirts. So we have the Androsia, and then we have some, golf shirts,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, all with the
logo.
Yes.
See, a gang is what you make of it, man.
Yes.
A gang is what you make of it. If I can join a gang, I join an Anglican Church
yes.
Women
yes.
gang,
That's
buddy.
An interesting
well, we,
reference.
Yes. We welcome you to join.
Right. This is the type of gang that we induct you in and mm-hmm. say, look here, come, check it out.
Yes, and we do a lot of focus particularly on the young ladies. So we have the young lady seminar that's normally held in October of each year. So,
okay.
And we have a strong youth program throughout the diocese.
Mm-hmm.
But we do use the opportunity in October. We would have last year, October, throughout New Providence and the Family Islands, we would have had over 350 young ladies who would have participated. So we do invest time and energy in trying to bring them together.
But Wonderful. Before you go, I want some detail on how does one become an Anglican Church woman member?
Okay, so normally we reach out to our confirmants who are like 18 years or older. You're confirmed member within the Anglican Church. We do have monthly meetings. Each branch has a monthly meeting. And invitations are always open and extended. And so someone coming out and with a commitment and an interest to be a part of the organization, after 3 months of attending, 3 consecutive months, and the person desires to move forward, the branch president would continue with them. We share with them information that's generally from our constitution as to how we'd operate. And so at this conference, this is when all of the women who would have made their 3 month, or some could have been longer, there's a special time in the service, the Thanksgiving service we're having. They're actually pinned by the bishop. So they are officially inducted. So on the 21st of April at Christ Church Cathedral, after the bishop would have given us his charge, these ladies step forward, receive their pins, and officially they are Anglican Church women.
I want to know, this archipelago, and I'm not even considering how far Turks and Caicos is.
Yes.
How do you stay in communication with all, and being president, you're going to Family Island, I got Turks and Caicos. How do you keep that network and that union?
Pigeons.
Okay. Pigeons.
So we have our monthly meetings, and we are very thankful for the virtual platforms now. So when we meet, while we have some that gather in person, we connect with our sisters throughout the Family Islands and the Turks and Caicos. So we're in constant communication, and they look forward to coming into New Providence for conference.
Very quickly, UB coding students, we're going to need an app, a messaging app for Bahamians to use called Pigeon. That focus on the, I can call it Pigeon, and focus on the nature of the archipelago and the communication needs of those within. Secondly, before you all repeat the details for the walkathon and anything that needs a ticket, I need to know when I need to buy it and how much it costs. I would like to take up my initiation process at Trinity in Ridgeland. I want to work in the kitchen. I want to train under those ladies. I'm telling you, that's where I want to take up my initiation, please and thank you. Yeah. St. Anne's, I ain't leaving you. I can bring everything I learned there back to St. Anne's.
Okay, awesome. Well, I just want to say yes. So 60 years, it's a lot of wisdom we gain from the ladies. We stand on the foundation that they would have established. Mm-hmm. And I just want to salute the 10 living honorees.
Just call any names, yeah.
Yeah, so we have from St. Stephen's in 8 Mile Rock, Grand Bahama, Mrs. Melvise Henley, Mrs. Merlene Smith, and Mrs. Iva Mitchell. From St. Mary the Virgin, we have Miss Paula Williams. From St. Agnes, we have Mrs. Jesselyn Markey and Mrs. Coral Barnaby. From St. Philip's in Inago, we have Mrs. Iva Nixon. From St. Margaret's, Kemp Road, New Providence, we have Rosemary Archer and Miss Cleomi Lightborn. And from St. Matthew's, we have Mrs. Dorothy Davis. So it's really a pleasure, you know, to see 60 years later, these ladies are still active.
60 years
and
later.
And involved. Mm-hmm. I spoke with Mrs. Henley. She told me she's 90 plus anyway, and she's looking forward.
She's coming out.
Yes, she is.
But I mean, you could imagine.
Forward, so yes,
you could imagine. You live in a community, and one day the pear tree just ain't there, right? Like one day the pear tree just uprooted itself and gone to another community. It don't feel right. And so we say thank you to those women who dedicated themselves not to be a part of the community, but to be the community.
Give me a rundown as we're about to take a break. Of what all the dates and everything again.
Okay, so Saturday we have the walkathon. We go to the Mall of Marathon on Monday for the exhibition. And I failed to mention, we do have a courtesy call with Her Excellency.
Nice.
Yes, on Thursday coming. So she will meet some of the executive team of the ACW. And then on Saturday the 20th, this is where we have the luncheon where we will honor our living members who would have been at the beginning 60 years ago. So we look forward to that. On Sunday, we will meet at Christ Church Cathedral where we will have our procession of witness. 4 p.m., we go into for our annual Thanksgiving service. We look forward to our patron who will give us his charge and officially declare the Anglican Church Women Conference in process on Monday morning, the 22nd. We will meet at Christ the King, Richland Park, where the sessions take place. And as I indicated, we have morning and evening sessions. Same will happen on Tuesday as well as on Wednesday morning, which is more of a leisurely day. We have morning prayer. We have our social outreach to the community where we will share food parcels, etc. And then we take some time for ourselves where we will do our city tour. We'd have lunch and finally relax.
All right, so this Saturday,
yes,
5:30 a.m., yes, Goodman's Bay Praise and Worship Warm-Up Session. The walkathon starts at 6. There are four turning points, so you may not have to walk the whole thing. And Esther, you get your cheerleaders, and I'm going to get mine. Ladies, Anglicans, Bahamians, let's all get there.
Yes, thank you very much.
Go ahead, Miss Ash. You have a couple seconds.
Okay, I just thought about something. It would be a great idea for religious classes, all the schools to attend the exhibition at the mall.
Yes.
Where possible. Great history.
Absolutely.
Great history.
As President, President Wims, President Sass, President Rogers. Thank you very much. Go ahead. What do you say?
I hope there can be rib sauce. Let's say it. Rib sauce, hot dog sauce, chicken and sheep tongue. Okay, they say chicken and sheep tongue sauce can be on sale, and pig feet sauce, and some of the best Johnny cake.
And this was for the walkathon. They have in the sauce.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Bring some money.
Bring some money.
Okay,
good.
This is Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron. We're coming right back. We're going to take this break, and thank you very much, ladies.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
The excitement, the fierce competition, the entertainment. On May 4th and 5th, our Bahamian athletes will compete with hundreds of the best from around the world to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics.
Gardner takes the title.
Come witness history as our athletes chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the 2024 World Athletic Relays. May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri, and we have the people from Clifton in studio. Apparently, something big is happening on Clifton again. And of course, when it has to do with history and Bahamian heritage, we try to make some space. We try to make some space for them to explain what is happening. Of course, we have a historian. What is your title there now, Christopher Davis?
I'm just a lowly assistant manager.
Assistant manager. Yes, oh, I like historian better, right?
Well, research.
But researcher. Like you say, the researcher. Researcher. Yeah. At the Clifton, who is here to explain what is happening on this weekend. Is it this weekend?
No, sorry, next week.
Next week?
April the 19th.
Okay.
We'll be celebrating World Heritage Day at the park.
Okay, explain what is World Heritage Day.
Well, World Heritage Day is actually a day that was set aside, for all people of any race, any complexion, any ethnicity, any background, to actually celebrate their heritage. And it was also a day that was also founded so that World Heritage sites all around the world, monuments and sites, statues, all of these things could then be commemorated. You know, so that day would be a day that we actually encourage people to come out to one of the only heritage parks in the English-speaking Caribbean, being our Clifton Heritage Park right there on the western end of our lovely New Providence Island.
Okay. So I know your role is new in contrast to the last Heritage Day. Are you planning to implement anything different?
Oh, yes. Well, if you notice the flyer, you would notice that on the flyer you see a picture, a pretty mystical picture of someone in a John Canoe costume. And, of course, the origins of John Canoe will be the overall theme for that day as well. And we have a lot of new and unprecedented things planned there, as well as even a nice demonstration that's planned there as well. And it would also be very interactive. So we encourage people to come out on this day. And on this day, the park entry is actually free on this day. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to get up the flyer now. Right. Last time on the Heritage Stage, you had food and activities. What can I anticipate?
Hold on, that's when we went there last year with my broken foot.
Yes, when we drive all the way up there.
What? I mean, it was fun.
I'm trying to find if they can have food there again. I'm trying to see what all happening.
Yes, we'll definitely have some refreshments there once again. Of course, that's an important part. And we well prepared for a very hot day as well. Mm-hmm. So you have a little lemonade, even some bush tea might be there to be
sampled. And I like the word refreshments because that's a different meaning to me.
Right.
Yes, go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
Right. And of course, it would be a lot of activities there in terms of interaction. And we also expect to have a lot of students there. Mm-hmm. This day is also really about celebrating our students and getting our students some more exposure to our heritage and culture. And we'll also be unveiling a very small exhibit. That is literally, I wouldn't even call it the tip of the iceberg or appetizer, since we're talking about food. It's more like one Kung Fritter when it comes to the massive array of new heritage initiatives that we have at Clifton Heritage Park. And we just want people to come out there and support.
Now, wait, let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. Clifton far. Clifton is far. And I know last year you had a number of schools there, but they're mostly schools in the West. And there are numbers schools in the East.
Certainly.
Have you communicated to these various schools that, hey, I know it's far, but y'all need to come down this way? The schools know?
Oh, yeah, the schools definitely know. And we do have schools from the eastern side of the island as well and central, you know. I don't want to call all the names of the schools, but mm-hmm. we definitely have schools from all over the island. We even occasionally have schools from the family island. And particularly now that we're doing a new heritage initiative that's actually married to the initiatives of the Ministry of Education, we want to encourage them to come out there as much as they could, not even just for World Heritage Day. And now that I'm there, I just assisted someone with their history coursework just last week. You know,
you do that? Nice, thanks.
Yeah, we do things like that.
So listen, well, if my project is on Clifton Heritage or if it's on early or slave plantations.
Right.
That's the source. That's where you go.
Certainly.
And
exactly.
So it's wonderful to see that the staff there is also accessible, right?
Certainly.
In that way. Now, I'm still stuck on the word refreshments. Will we have refreshments from the time periods on exhibition?
Oh, yes, we will. We will. I don't want to expound too much information on that, but I got a name drop, a co-worker and a sister of mine, Patricia Patterkin. And for those who have ever experienced her living history performance, it's absolutely riveting. You know, the first time I saw it, I was absolutely blown away. And I can tell you this. I know Annie might be listening. Auntie, I mean no offense, but that was literally some of the best guava duff I ever taste in my life, and I can leave it right there.
Absolutely. I think that's great. Because we don't do enough exploration. We don't do enough exploration of the modern practices. Now juxtaposing modern to traditional, right? So right. I want a coconut tart tour. Because they make coconut tart three different ways in Andres. Right? Then the way they make coconut tart in Mayaguana is different from the way they make coconut tart in Auckland. Different from the way they make it in Eleuthera. Different from the way they make it in Nassau. Now I want to be able to juxtapose that to the ways they would have made coconut tart when they were enslaved, when they were newly freed, right?
Right.
And see the evolution of the culinary art form.
Certainly. Well, you know, in those days, as a matter of fact, and this exhibit ironically does talk a little bit about flour. And flour was something that was very valuable, and even sugar back then. These things were even hard to obtain at times in the Bahamas, right? And so being able to make coconut tart and all of these things, it was actually really a blessing, you know. And it was, you had a situation where women or men who was cooking it, they would have been saving up probably for months just to be able to bake that big coconut tart, to be able to share with their families, particularly in the days of enslavement, right? But of course, at Clifton Heritage Park, we don't even just talk about slavery. We talk about African heritage and African culture. And of course, on World Heritage Day, that is what we're going to be celebrating. And it's all going to be centered around the things that Clifton has already had out there to the people. But now we're doing a special exhibit on Junkanoo as well that I think that people will find very empowering indeed.
And World Heritage Day is a global thing. Is there, other than Clifton, is there any other heritage site in the Bahamas? Or Clifton, that's ours?
Yeah, well, that's our heritage site officially, you know, and that's something that we as Bahamians need to realize and recognize. And of course, there was also, I don't want to get, you know, into that or get political at all, but you know, there was also a quite extensive and public fight, even for Clifton Heritage Park to be established, right? And so I think, and you know, I always make the statement that history and heritage unifies us, you know, culture unifies us. And I think that this is something that all Bahamians, regardless of your background, regardless of your creed, can definitely get behind and support. And even on a beach day, you know, it's not just heritage. I would say that we have one of the nicest beaches, Johnstone Beach, if you've never been there. I think it might be the nicest beach on the island of New Providence.
So who's Johnstone?
This was named after a man named Lewis Johnstone, okay, who had a small plantation that was right along the beach,
okay,
which is now a part of the Clifton Heritage Park.
At least we get one beach we'll have forever. quick question. So Clifton Heritage is the only official designated heritage site in the World Heritage Site in the Bahamas.
Right.
Are the bodies responsible for, or any individual historians or culturalists, have they identified other sites that they are lobbying or advocating for recognition as a World Heritage Site also? Instance, Cat Island or San Salvador or wherever we're going to decide that Christopher Columbus landed, the Abaco Lighthouse.
Right.
Are there any other, the Andrus, the home of the coloring ceremony and the creation of the Andrus Chikchani, are there any other
certainly
machinations at play?
Well, as you know, I very much attracted to and lean towards our more revolutionary history. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of piggybacking off of that, I would actually say that there are several communities on the whole that, you know, regular Bahamians live in to this day. We're talking about communities like Yamacraw. We're talking about communities like Yambia Village. We're even talking about communities like Cherokee Sound over there in Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
And why all of these areas are actually linked to that concept of the Saltwater Underground Railroad, of which William Wiley, who was the owner of Clifton, the slave master, if you will, at Clifton, he came directly from the Savannah River. So he essentially was on the front lines, and him himself was kind of damaged economically and even politically by this concept of the Saltwater Underground Railroad. And so, you know, for someone like me, everywhere I look, I see in the Bahamas, I see in heritage sites, you know, and I would even say the area of Pompey Museum going out into the harbor as well, because so many significant things happened there. You know, the end of the Pirate Republic, if you will, with Charles Vane and Benjamin Hornigold.
Well, you mean when they restored slave commerce?
Exactly, right. That's a big one. And then you also have, of course, the most successful slave revolt in United States history, which was known as the Creole Case, that ended with the freedom of over 140 African Americans, about half of whom, well, a little less than half of whom settled in Gambia Village, mainly Elijah Morris. You know, and this is something that's quite profound, and has, when you look at it, it actually affects the lives of thousands, perhaps maybe even millions of people, when you understand how genealogy works. Because the further back you go, the more people that you are actually connected to, right?
I just want to pretend like Christopher Davis is in the room for a moment and look you directly in your eyes, Mr. Nuri, and okay. Say, you could imagine what it is to live in a country with a history so rich and so important. Valuable to the global narrative, right? That you are a citizen of that country and you live in that country and you work for somebody who knows the history and understands the value, but and is not a Bahamian, but they have been able to secure that land.
Get access to it.
access to it. And then tell the stories of your ancestors from their own perspective. I just saying, now that Christopher Davis is back in the room, we could go on to another subject.
Yes, but I know you mentioned Cherokee, and then you mentioned Yamacraw, right? Mm-hmm. And few Bahamians know that Yamacraw is like either Awak name or Indian name in general.
Yamacraw, there's another place, and this is just some, again, a little Kung Fritter from the big feast of information that we have at Clifton now, right? But Yamacraw, there's actually Yamacraw at the mouth of the Savannah River. And Amos Williams, who with Sambo Scriven founded Bethel Baptist Church, his mother was indigenous American, his father was African. And those people came as a part of those revolutionary Baptist congregations that were the lifeblood of the Saltwater Underground Railroad. And so Yamacraw is just not a random thing. You had people from Yamacraw who were the people that revolted against their slave masters and then used this, however, whatever route they could to the Bahamas in an attempt to gain their freedom, right? So I don't think I need to expound on that anymore.
I just wanted people to realize that Yamacraw means something.
Right, mm-hmm. It means something quite profound, actually. And one of our favorite rappers, I believe, is even from there. I forget the fella name. Quando Rondo, I believe, is from that area.
Well, that's why he was on the building A. From in Savannah, on the US side.
Right, and this is all connected to the Savannah River, you understand? Mm-hmm. And so Yamacraw is actually a well-known community in Georgia, but no one has officially really made that connection, except for Dr. Christopher Curry, who I noticed made a slight connection in this book. And I believe Gail Saunders may have, but of course we know she is the most prolific writer or author, historian of our time.
And one of these days, we got to invite you back to give history of names. Like you mentioned Cherokee, and I have two different meaning of Cherokee because I have some people who say that's actually Cherokee and not Cherokee. And mind you, they have a record from 1902 saying, man, there's a lot of cherries on this thing, and this is where they get the cherries. There's a cherries key. But I mean, one of these days, we'll bring you back just to give you a list of names here in Providence and the Family Islands, that we can have a narrative on how these names came about. So I definitely do that.
And you know, you could always come and see me at Clifton. You could talk to me all day out there once I'm on the clock.
Now, I guess
you wear costumes? No way.
Well, I wouldn't call it costumes. You know, I wear my African regalia, but we have other people who will be dressed in appropriate attire. Not necessarily for the period, but of days of our glorious past. So like I said, it's going to be very African-centered, but there will also be some living history experiences that would apply to enslavement in the Bahamas as well.
Imagine you were African all the way up until independence. And then after independence, you can't be African no more.
No.
That's so fascinating. So listen, World Heritage Day, April 18th.
April 19th, Friday. The event is on the 19th.
Right,
so the day is actually celebrated on the 18th.
The event is on Friday, the 19th. Okay, so World Heritage Day event at Clifton Heritage is free, right?
Yes.
Unless,
of course, you're doing the guided snorkel tour.
Okay, right,
We have other programs, but for the actual Heritage Day event, it's free. Right.
What does it cost to get in on regular days?
On regular days, it all depends, but for locals, it's about $16 for like the guided heritage tour. There's a lot of little hints that you could do. So, for example, once you do the guided heritage tour, you then have access to the park all day. You can also pay a $10 to $20, I believe, depending on the type of vehicle, I believe, but I think it's averages out at about $10 for your vehicle pass, and you could come right there and have a nice beach day on one of the most beautiful beaches.
Oh, yeah. Or you could drive all the way through to the beach?
Yeah. Yeah, you could drive all the way through to the beach.
A lot of people don't know is
Jaws Beach is actually also a part of Clifton. And our managing director, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, allows Bahamians to just go there freely, you know.
So Jaws Beach. So Jaws Beach is managed by Clifton?
Yes.
Just a quick question on the side. Do the people go to Jaws Beach, do they have access to the bathrooms at Clifton?
No.
We need some bathrooms out at Jaws Beach.
Right. Yes, we need some bathrooms out at Jaws Beach.
Okay, no problem. We just need some bathrooms out at Jaws Beach.
Why I mentioned Jaws Beach is because Jaws Beach is a very popular beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people don't actually know that it's a part of Clifton Heritage Park.
Yeah.
And then they'll just walk over and stroll through, and next thing you know, they're in the park. But of course, we have many employees at the park. The park is to maintain itself. So we like to actually encourage people to come through the front gate.
Let them know if they sneak on the plantation, they may end up waking on the plantation.
So right. Friday, April 19, 2024, the World Heritage Day at Clifton is going to be happening. It starts at what time?
It starts at 10 a.m.
10 a.m. At 10 a.m., what should I expect happening?
We should expect a nice, short, but sweet program, mm-hmm. of which yours truly will be the keynote speaker, speaking on the importance of Heritage Day, some of the new research that's been exposed at Clifton. And, you know, I like to keep it close to home, so I like to talk about names and family islands and be very inclusive in my presentation. And then it will end with a tour through the park, where you will see the unveiling of this new temporary exhibit that will be in Kujo's house in the African village. And then after that, I believe it's the C.A. Nuri's favorite
part. Yes, the food.
Which is the food.
I just want to keep sure the food is still there when I reach.
Right, well, let's just call me. I can save you a plate.
That's good. Or two plates.
Journey bread don't spoil. Journey cake don't spoil.
Make right. sure
and make it the old way.
Right.
What do you mean just...
It only is
getting. We ain't going together.
We go together. I'll make sure I get enough. If I drive that far, I need to make sure I have food.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's free. There's a lot of food, so I just make sure I get mine. So it's Clifton Heritage National Park, Southwest Road, Nassau, Bahamas. This is a part of, or at least in conjunction with UNESCO World Heritage Day.
But you have to RSVP. You have to RSVP. Yes, I mean, you know. Have to, but it's really helpful if you do.
So y'all know your numbers.
Right. So we know our numbers. We know how much to prepare for and all of that.
Give me the website or the address that I can RSVP at and where I could find the fees. I want to make sure I have my money right. I don't have to sell one of these children out there to be able to eat lunch.
It's cliftonheritage.org, but you can also send an email at info@tourcliftonheritage.com. Yeah, sorry, that's the website, tourcliftonheritage.com.
So I just want to remind people that Friday the 19th, it's a free event. You come there and experience this World Heritage celebration. And then you have activities, speeches, and dignitaries going to be out there.
Certainly.
Go ahead.
And we're talking about our story now. We're not talking about their story.
So what are you doing on the 18th? I need you to send me a fact sheet. I need you to send me an informational so that I could focus on World Heritage Day
Certainly.
With some interesting stuff about how there's a Yamacraw here and a Yamacraw in Atlanta. Yeah. And now I know why I have this yearning to go live in Atlanta.
All right, then. There you go. Good. Thank you so much for having me. I always appreciate y'all having me on.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. That was Christopher Davis, who is a manager at the Clifton Heritage site there. And you can go and speak to him. He gives some tours there and gives some details. Apparently, help people with BGCSE coursework and stuff. So you can go down there with your child. Anyway, have a wonderful day.